Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing?
I'm warm now.
Yeah, it's nice and cozy in here.
It's nice and cozy. It's not cozy outside.
Now, what is it, like 20?
20 degrees cold. My dogs didn't even want to go out this morning.
What do you do?
Too cold. They have to coax them with a treat.
Bribe them with some delicious chicken sausage biscuits?
No, I wouldn't feed those to the dogs. Mm-hmm. Those are all for me. We have a wonderful smelling studio this morning and a lot of talent here and a great show to provide our listeners on wellness. First up, we have Dr. Jeffrey Weinstein, who's here with us from Concentra. And we're very excited about this show for a lot of reasons. You know, a lot of our listeners made New Year's resolutions and they want to know how can they become healthier? How can they take their health into their own hands and just live a healthier lifestyle? And first up, Concentra, then we have the folks from Fresh and Fit Cuisine, and then we also have someone from Benefit Strategies letting us know a little bit about how we can take our health care into our own hands. First up, doctor, let us know a little bit more about Concentra.
Well, Concentra is a nationwide medical company, and we've been around for about 30 years. We started out with one office in Amarillo, Texas, back in 1979, and have grown to over 300 medical offices across 40 states in the country. We initially started as primarily an occupational healthcare company, and over the last several years have expanded our services into urgent care, wellness, and what we call total care.
And how many are there? How many Concentra clinics are there?
Right now, there are about 320 offices across 40 states. We have 11 here in Metro Atlanta.
So tell me about your worksite health services. I'm interested in knowing a little bit more about that. What does that mean?
Well, all of our 320 medical centers are independently run across the country. However, in addition to them, we also have about 250 workplace medical centers, and they comprise many different services. Our worksite health services are tailored to the needs of the employer that brings them on. We can do anything from a full service a medical office with physicians, nurses, and full staff, x-ray, and physical therapy. And we can do other kinds of services like just physical therapy. We have some places where we use athletic trainers. And increasingly now we're doing wellness in these on-site areas.
Now, are these, when you say on-site, are you actually in space inside the building, or do you have like a mobile center that comes there periodically?
Both, but mainly we're talking about space within the employer's location that we set up our facility.
How many employees does a company have to have you on-site?
Well, our on-site services range from some we do sporadically, like mm-hmm. we'll go on-site to do flu shot vaccinations or to do drug testing, and some are more regular kinds of on-sites where we will spend anywhere from 1 to 5 days a week at.
So you'll have set hours at the facility.
We will have set hours at the facility. And in order to have a structure like that, there has to be a significant number of employees in the range of 600 plus.
600 or more, and then that enables them to have you there as kind of a doctor in waiting for them?
Correct.
I love your philosophy that the best approach to solving America's healthcare crisis is to balance the well-being of employees with the well-being of employers. I think that's really interesting. That's something that is being talked about a lot now as employers are being forced to offer wellness plans to their employees. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Concentra and what changes you've seen in healthcare over the 20 years of practicing.
Well, originally I started out in emergency medicine, which is the other end of the spectrum from preventive medicine and wellness. And I've been increasingly interested in that part of medicine over the years. I joined Concentra about 10 years ago, and I've been working in mainly occupational health care, and as we've been developing our wellness program over the last several years, have been involved in the development and delivery of that product. I think it's important when you talked about balancing the well-being of employees with the that of employers. Our focus as physicians is the health and wellness of the employee. As we focus on that, the benefits to the employer are clear. The employer sees less absenteeism, increased productivity, and decreased medical costs when we address preventive issues and improve the health of their employee population.
What is the pushback that they give you, like when you're trying to pitch them to say, hey, this is a good idea, maybe you should consider having us, you know, be part of your organization that will come in regularly? What is the reason they would say no?
Well, increasingly, employers are coming to us and asking for it. There's the biggest concern on employers is the upfront costs, and our need is to educate the employers as to what the benefits of providing this are, and long-term benefits in terms of their medical costs are actually. Can be decreased significantly. There's in some instances, the return on investment is $6 back to the employer with every $1 spent in a health and wellness
program. I'm sure you have, over the years, you've accumulated just dozens of case studies that just prove that point over and over again. Is that correct?
There is a lot of published data in regards to return on investment for these products with big organizations.
A $6 return on every dollar invested over a 2 to 5 year period. I mean, that's a pretty powerful statistic, I would think, for an employer. Tell me a little bit more about the Total Care program. How does it work from start to finish? I understand that it has some components that include wellness, exercise, smoking cessation. Can you address some of the other components?
With our Total Care, what employers have seen is, as you know, is escalating medical costs, and they continue to escalate. And a main reason for the escalating medical costs, when you look at it, is the increased incidence of chronic medical conditions within the employee population. And these chronic medical conditions...
What's an example of a chronic medical condition?
Diabetes, hypertension... And these, a lot of these are as a result of poor lifestyle choices and poor lifestyle behaviors, such as obesity, lack of exercise, smoking, and such. So what we looked at is what is the solution that we can provide for this, and the focus is really on the prevention of these chronic medical illnesses, which increase the cost to the employer and to the medical system. So we do this twofold. We develop a health improvement program within an organization, and that is has a number of steps. The first one involves understanding what the problems are within the organization. So by performing health risk assessments and biometric screening of the employee population, we can give the employer an idea of what are the significant drivers of their medical costs, and then we...
So that's like a snapshot of...
A snapshot of their employee population, yeah. And then we can then take that and target certain programs to help manage those risks that they have. And those programs would be health education. They might either be directed towards an individual employee, towards the employee group as a whole. We employ health coaches that work with individual employees within the organization to address some of their...
And what are some of the services those people perform? Are they like personal trainers? Are they, you know, help people manage diabetes? Like what exactly do they do?
All of the above. We have nutritionists that do dietary counseling. We will have exercise physiologists that will design exercise programs for people, stress management,
How do you deal with the compliance issue? Are these people just coming in one time and saying, hey, do all these things? Or how do they keep a person compliant on any of those?
It's very difficult, and the challenge to an organization is to get participation,
right.
And participation is usually not mandatory. So most organizations are create incentives mm-hmm. for their employees to participate in the mm-hmm. program. So they might get deductions on their co-pays or on their health insurance costs if they participate in the program. There are some organizations that charge a higher amount for health insurance to those who smoke versus those who don't. So monetary incentives are the most common way that now people, organizations are getting their employees to buy into
the
program.
Are they the most effective ways?
At this point, yes, they usually are the most effective ways of doing it. There's other things too. When you develop a culture within an organization of health and wellness, and there's you see your peers participating, that's a strong motivator for people to also participate in the program.
I really like the thought that y'all are trying to improve America's health one patient or one employee at a time. Not to shift gears, but I do want to highlight one other unique feature of Concentra, which is the posted pricing. Can you address that? Because people that don't have health care insurance or might have an HSA or a high deductible, they go to the doctor and you never know what it's going to cost. Could you address the posted pricing?
Yeah. With people who have insurance, typically they come in, they pay a copay, and then they don't have to be concerned about the billing on the back end. But with people without insurance, this is really what it's targeted to, is that it is very confusing for consumers to understand what medical costs are going to be. And because of that, they tend to avoid pursuing medical care. And so what we have tried to do is make it clear up front to the patients that come into our centers what their costs are going to be. We have posted pricing, and we've developed three tiers of care within our urgent care offering. The first being a basic visit and an intermediate visit and an advanced visit. And the difference would be that with the intermediate visit, it would include potentially some testing or an x-ray, and an advanced visit would include a procedure such as suturing or other kind of procedure like that.
And this is already posted. I mean, somebody walks into a clinic and they can see up front what they're going to be paying.
Correct.
That's a really nice feature. Is there a way that we can post, Lee, the website so people can see the clinics throughout the Atlanta metro area and throughout the country? Because y'all are all over, right?
Yes, we are.
In how many states?
In approximately 40 states.
Wow, that's a lot of penetration. So what is the following of, say, somebody goes to a Concentra clinic? Is there an EMR system that will track that patient from one Concentra to another?
Our systems are all integrated not only through our medical centers but also through our on-sites, so we can track patients through one system, yes.
That's true.
So if somebody goes to a medical center, say, in California, and they show up in Atlanta, we have access to their medical records and can afford continuity of care.
So there's no paper for them to carry around?
Correct.
That's nice. Lee, any final thoughts?
No, just what's the website?
It's www.concentra.com.
Thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your story with us. We hope folks will go on the website and check out Concentra. Next up, we have the folks from Fresh and Fit Cuisine, Penny Fry, who's the operations manager, and Brent, who's the feisty chef. From Fresh and Fit Cuisine. You know, maybe I shouldn't have said that because he brought us food. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, y'all.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Kind of a natural transition here. You know, the doctor was talking about living healthy and taking charge of your health through these employer programs. And eating healthy is so important when we talk about lifestyles. And, you know, obesity really is the number one reason why folks are having these diseases such as diabetes and hypertension. What are y'all doing to help people eat healthy?
Well, we have, over the last 2 years, worked up a healthy eating diet that actually meets all the guidelines of the leading health authorities, the American Heart Association, the Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association. And our meals are calorie controlled, and they are provided to our customers all fresh. And that's the really unique aspect of the meal plan. So the meals taste like restaurant food. They taste delicious. They haven't been frozen. They're not high in sodium. They haven't been sitting on a shelf freeze-dried for weeks. And we provide a breakfast, lunch, and dinner to our customers through distributors that we have placed all around the Atlanta area, as far out as Fayetteville, Gainesville, Hiram. And that's the product that we offer for either 5 days, Monday through Friday, breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, or 7 days, including the weekend.
And we particularly target those people with diabetes and with hypertension. We strive very hard to keep the sodium low, the cholesterol low, and of course we have to do that to be part of the American Heart Association.
So Brent, you have a wide variety of culinary knowledge. This has got to be kind of challenging for you. I mean, I love to cook, and I have a culinary background, but for me, it's all about the sauces, and I find that it's harder to cook healthy. What are you finding? Is it more of a challenge? Is it exciting?
Absolutely makes it challenging. I come out of the fine dining business where if you wanted to fix a sauce, you put in a little bit more butter. If you wanted to make it taste great, you put some cream in there. We can't do that. That's a totally what the nutritionist would come slap my hand. They see that butter in me. They see the salt. They'll come slap me around. We have two nutritionists on staff that do nothing but review the recipes before we send them out. And they advise us and say, the carbs are a little high. The salt's a little high. Whatever we need to fix in that recipe, we will do.
So are you using more seasoning?
Absolutely. And we're using fresh as much as we can. Mm-hmm. We use those fresh herbs, the fresh rosemary, the thyme, all that. And that gives us a little bit more robust flavor than using any of the dried products. But we also try and keep everything to the as minimally processed as we can.
And how often does somebody pick up their meals? Is it once a week or how often?
Twice a week.
Okay.
On Mondays and Thursdays, they'll pick up about half a week of meals. The really wonderful thing about the plan is it eliminates all of the problems with shopping and cooking and trying to prepare a healthy diet for yourself. I think the challenge with today's lifestyle, you know, it's so busy that people simply can't, as much as they'd like to, manage to do that for themselves. So that's what we're finding, is that people applaud the program because it just takes the hassle, shopping, cooking, cleaning up out of it, makes their life easy. They know that they're on a guaranteed healthy diet. And it costs only about $20 a day for three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They order by the week, but it's, you know, it's as little as that.
Now, are the menus preset, or like say somebody has an allergy of some ingredient, how do they deal with that?
They are preset because that's the only way that we can ever scientifically work out all the nutrients and control the calories and guarantee low salt. So it's very much a set meal plan. It rotates for 6 weeks. It's a different menu every week, and then it rotates from there. We have a list of if people are really allergic to nuts and certain items, then they shouldn't be on the plan. And we make that very clear up front.
A lot of those things in our, some people are, some people aren't, when it comes to things like nuts. The American Diabetes Association actually advises people to have walnuts. So we try and include the walnuts in there because they're rich in omega-3 and other vitamins, minerals, and it's very much a challenge trying to balance all those needs of the Heart Association, Diabetes Association, and take into consideration everybody's allergies and their personal preferences.
So you said that the menu rotates every 6 weeks. I'm looking at the menu, and what if I really like the salmon cakes? I mean, I'm looking at this menu. It sounds fabulous. Wonderful. It sounds like you're not sacrificing the taste at all for what you're getting, and you're controlling your calories. Tell us a little bit about how, is there a taste test involved when you come up with these recipes? It's got to be fun, Brent, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We always have a taste test in the office. When we come up with a new recipe, a new idea, we'll gather around in the boardroom and we'll taste different things. And Penny's pretty critical on what she wants to put out. I'm also, and then the dietitians as well are very critical about the sodium levels or the fat levels or anything like that. It all has to fit in there together. We spend a lot of time just creating and experimenting to try and keep new things coming on the table. We have 6 weeks, 21 meals a week, and for that 6 weeks, nothing is repeated.
That's amazing, and it all looks so tasty. Did you look at the menu, Lee?
Yes, I've seen the menu.
And you tasted it this morning, correct?
Yes.
Yummy.
Yes, delicious.
It smells good. Now, a lot of people think that they can skip on breakfast, but others say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. What do you think, Brent?
Absolutely. Keep the breakfast in there. You have to do that. If you have diabetes, you absolutely have to have the breakfast to keep those carbs balanced throughout the day so you're not up and down on a roller coaster.
And how is it packaged? It's always fresh. It's never frozen, correct?
Absolutely. Everything that we do is fresh. It's packaged in a container all by itself, so there's nothing else to buy, nothing else to add in with it. Breakfast is in one container, lunch is in another, dinner's in a third container.
And those are all sealed, heat sealed in our kitchen so that the contents remain very fresh for several days. And they can be heated in those containers, either in the microwave or switched to an oven-proof dish and heated in the oven. So it's really very, very convenient for customers.
And what do you have for the sweet tooth?
Oh, for the sweet tooth. The sweet tooth is going to have to go out on their own.
Yeah, no desserts.
You know,
we don't do desserts. We try and keep those carbs level throughout the day. And high sugar things, chocolate that I love, will kind of throw those things out of whack.
But there's lots of fresh fruit.
Absolutely. Lots of fresh fruit to snack on. A lot of people will take the meals and divide them up throughout the day, and those who like to munch throughout the day just simply have their meals throughout the day.
That sounds wonderful. So how can people order their meals and find out where to pick them up?
Yeah, like who is a typical distributor for you?
Well, you go to www.freshandfitcuisine.com. And in the top menu bar, there's a locations link, which will identify all the locations that we have around town. And a customer enters their zip code, and up comes the closest distributor. It's a great system, works very well. Then you order through that distributor, and they will often have several locations that you can pick up from. There's nearly always one that's very convenient to that person's business or home. And if required, the distributor will deliver to their home or office, too.
Speaking of companies trying to create healthy employees, do you ever have corporations that purchase the meals and have them stocked in their cafeteria or lunchroom?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, because we're very, very proud partners of WellStar Hospital. And we offer meals through WellStar Health Place at Kennistone Hospital. And just opened in Cobb Hospital in Austell just a week ago, actually, ribbon cutting there. They have a new fitness center and offer fresh and fit cuisine from that fitness center.
Yeah, is that your typical distributor or fitness center?
No, actually, the our distributors tend to partner with sometimes nutrition stores, sometimes workout facilities or gyms. But so there are quite a few fitness centers, but there are other kinds of locations, spas. And they serve as, because the meals are simply picked up twice a week, they serve as perfect locations to have as pickup points.
And then what would be required of them? Would they need big refrigerators? Or
There's always a big three-door stainless cooler in those locations.
Well, Leah, we're running out of time with these folks, but we would love for the website to be published on ours. So
sure.
People
it's
can
fresh
see.
And fit, the letter N, not
it's
and,
the
right?
Yes, it's fresh, the letter N, fit cuisine, cuisine.com.
Brent, any final thoughts?
No, I think I'm covered. I did want to make sure that we all are knowing that we spend a lot of time trying to, as our prior guest does, trying to benefit the community, trying to change people's health and upgrade them onto a better lifestyle. We try and demonstrate the portion size, calorie counts, and so that they can learn and go on from there.
Actually, we've not talked about results, but those are, I think, the most rewarding things that ever happens to us. We had a customer recently who'd lost 100 pounds,
wow,
which is phenomenal. And but almost more important is the customers that report having been able to stop taking diabetes medication, having their doctors ask them, what are they doing because they're so much better when they go for a checkup. And those reports that are fed back to us by our distributors are really, I think, more pleasing than any weight loss. I mean, that the health aspect is huge.
It's got to be very rewarding.
Yeah, it really is.
Thank you so much for sharing with us and for being our guest today.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Lee.
Lee, you know, there's only one way to wrap this show up, and that is with my passion, which has to do with healthcare. And when it comes to insuring yourself and how best to insure yourself, and, you know, it's kind of complex, but throughout my career in insurance, I've found certain folks that really get it. And joining us today, we have Carl Schussler, who is the founder of Benefit Strategies, and he has kind of a little bit different approach to how he deals with corporations and individuals on managing their health care through managed care or insurance. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Carl.
Thank you, Amy and Lee. It's good to be here.
So, Carl, I've got to say, the one thing that resonates with me is your statement that the one thing that consumers do not shop for is their health care. You shop for a flat-screen TV, a car, all kinds of things, but you don't shop around for health care. Elaborate on that.
What we find a lot today, Amy, is that most employees of the employer have been trained really by the insurance company because of what we call copays, which have really masked the cost of health care. And what I mean by that is if you go into a doctor's office and the visit's $20, you don't really have any idea what that visit cost. When you go buy a flat-screen TV or a car, you shop vigorously for 3 or 4 months. You go to Best Buy. I used to go to Circuit City. I guess not anymore. But you go out and you look all over the place, car dealerships, et cetera, for cars. And you have data readily available, and you sort of know what things cost and what the dealership's going to make on it, what the store may make on the TV. But people really don't have any idea what health care costs because it's always been a copay. And that really started back in the 80s when copays were instituted through managed care programs to help reduce the cost of health care. And ultimately what's happened is it's actually made the cost go back up.
Not only has it made the cost go back up, but don't you feel that it's actually created an unhealthier patient? I mean, I really think that people sneeze and go to the doctor because of the copay being so low. And, you know, we're talking about healthy lifestyles and healthy eating. I think as Americans, we feel that we can go through the fast food window and not exercise and still be entitled to health care. What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think that because it's only going to cost $10 or $20, people don't really take their health care serious anymore. I think you have to see a component of consumerism enter, and what I mean by that is people, it's all about behavior change and people taking personal financial responsibility of their health and wellness. And the way the system's set up, if I don't feel well or, if, for example, I take cholesterol medication, I miss a few of my pills, you know, on a daily basis, I only have to pay $20 if something comes up or I need to go to the doctor. If I'm forced to be responsible for more of my expenses personally, I'm going to make sure I go to that doctor and take care of myself. But the way the system's set up, it's incented to really disincent people to go in and have their checkup.
So how do you create more transparency so people see the costs and see, you know, if people, I agree, people think healthcare is $20.
What you do, Lee, what we have found is you have to look at insurance and healthcare as two separate components. And what I mean by that is you've got insurance, which is really for catastrophic things, and you transfer an unforeseen, unbudgetable, financially catastrophic event into a series of affordable payments, very similar to homeowners and auto insurance. You have to take the everyday expenses, like as Amy's mentioned, when she takes her kids to the doctor and they have a runny nose. You have to take those events where the person actually handles them out of their pocket. There's no insurance involved. The problem with the whole insurance industry is the everyday routine expenses that clog up the waiting rooms in these pediatricians' offices should be paid out of someone's pocket. It should not be filed with insurance. That's created these huge insurance companies and all these people that are on staff to process these daily expenses that we have. And the cost of processing that is for every dollar of claim an insurance company processes, it really costs them about $1.30 per claim, which is very inefficient.
So it sounds like we're making steps in the right direction with clinics like Concentra and with healthy meals. What are you doing in your industry to help educate consumers and employers on how they can better manage their health care?
What we're doing is we're, again, getting people to separate health care and insurance. We're encouraging companies to look at purchasing catastrophic insurance generally, because a very interesting statistic that's important to this, only 7% of Americans see a deductible and coinsurance in any given year. 7%. Yet everyone buys and focuses their purchases of insurance, for the employers do, on looking at deductibles and coinsurance, and they're really irrelevant. The only thing that really matters is out-of-pocket maximums. So we're having the employees burden the cost of the everyday health care expenses. There's really no point in running it through an insurance program.
So you're saying it would be less expensive for the employee if they had a catastrophic plan and paid out of pocket for these, you know, occasional visits, rather than paying more for their premium every month and then paying this $20 copay?
Rightly, because again, only 7% of Americans ever have a deductible and coinsurance related claim. When I go in and see the cardiologist for my cholesterol, that visit costs me $180.
Right.
I'm challenging the physician's office every time I go in. I had to go in and have a blood draw and have the visit, and I asked, is it $180 for my visit plus a cost for the blood draw? If it's a cost for the blood draw, I'm gonna go to LabCorp direct and get the blood done there and not pay $180. But because I became a consumer of health care and I'm paying out of my pocket, I learned how to navigate the system, and the doctor's office couldn't answer my question, so I said, I'm not coming in until you figure it out. When they researched it, they found out it's a doctor's visit and a blood draw is the same cost. It's that kind of thing that people have got to become more familiar.
So you have to be a more educated consumer.
Right, and a lot of our clients, we have an employee helpline and advocacy service that helps the employees be a consumer. They've never had to be a consumer before because it only costs $10 or $20.
Right, there was no need.
And some of our tools and things we're doing, we're saving companies 20 to 40% every time we walk in the door by coming in there and taking a different approach, really going back to how insurance was in the 1960s when individuals were responsible for 49% of their medical costs. Today, they're responsible for less than 13%.
That's powerful. I mean, the statistics are really powerful. And I think with programs like Concentra, would you agree, Carl? It's unique to have something where there's published pricing. And it's very unusual to go to a doctor and know what you can pay out of pocket if you aren't filing with a managed care company. It's a step in the right direction in my mind.
Absolutely. Concentra's and most of the insurance company networks is a great resource. Having that published price is definitely a step in the right direction. The non-transparency of the industry is what's so difficult. But again, the copays have masked the true cost of health care, and that's why no one really knows. But the real key, I think, is nobody spends somebody else's money as frugally or wisely as they spend their own.
Yeah,
and
right.
Until they get what I call skin in the game, they're never going to know what it costs, and they're going to continue to elevate the cost of the employer's insurance by being a health care user versus a healthcare consumer. And right now you have a disengaged consumer because they don't know what it costs. Mm-hmm. They will spend months researching the cost of a TV, a car. They'll spend months planning their summer vacation. They spend zero time on their healthcare budget and what it means.
So do you think that, by and large, pretty much everybody would be better served if they had this catastrophic insurance and then pay out of pocket for everything?
Absolutely. Again, Lee, what you're doing is you're purchasing insurance for what it's purchased for. When I often ask people what their automobile deductible is, they say $1,000. I'll say, why didn't you get a $5,000 deductible? Well, we didn't think it made sense for us. We didn't want to be out of pocket that much money. If something happened, it didn't save me that much money. Why isn't it $250? Well, at $250, it costs too much money. We don't think anything's going to happen. So absolutely, people do not purchase their health insurance the way they purchase all other insurances. And that's because the insurance companies combined health care reimbursement and insurance into the same bucket. And those everyday expenses we were talking about, pediatrician visits, et cetera, should be paid out of your pocket. The insurance companies charge $1.30 per dollar of claim. It's not efficient, and that's right. Why the costs have gone up so much.
There's a lot to be said for the educational process of this. How can people reach you to learn more about how you're helping consumers as well as employers with their health care?
The best way for me is just to call me, and that's 404-277-7852, and I'll be glad to speak with you about it.
Excellent. There's a lot to know about it. It's very complex, and Carl, you definitely know it inside and out. We hope our listeners will reach out to you and learn from you. And y'all, we are out of time today.
That's what happens.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
Time flies when you're thinking about wellness, right? Y'all, thank you so much for being our guest today, and thanks for listening to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this week. And we're hoping for warmer weather next week, right?
You promise?
Yeah. Well, by Friday, it's supposed to be 65.
So. All right. I saw in Texas it was like 70, so... Well, it's coming this way.
It is. Spring is around the corner. Thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you, Amy.
We'll
thank you, Amy.
Be back with
you
next week.